Lord, the desire of our heart this morning is to praise you, is to declare the goodness of your love and to let this world know that all things that you do well. And I pray that, Father, you would be our teacher this morning. Come into this place, Lord, and pour out your spirit upon every person, upon every heart, God, that we would know you more. And that as you touch our lives, Lord, that we would be that bright and shining light within our community. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that we get to gather together as a family, as a community, and we're here because of you. We want more of you, Jesus, and we ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Listen, before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. All right. Well, listen, it's so good to be here with you this morning. We're going to be in our study of the Gospel of Mark, and so please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. And if you do not have a Bible and you would love to follow along with us, please raise your hand. Our ushers will make sure you have a Bible for you to do that. And if you do not have one personally, consider that a gift from us to you. And so we would love for you to have a copy of God's Word at all times. So Mark chapter 7, while you're turning there, I want to welcome everybody who's watching online and also let you know that we will be taking communion today. So if you would like to go ahead and get up and grab your communion elements, we'd love for you to join us as we get to that part today. And then also, as Pastor Josh mentioned, if you were to go onto our church app and see our weekly events, there's a lot that we do throughout the holidays. And I want to just stress this really quickly because sometimes when people come and they see all of the different things going on, sometimes because we don't announce everything, people wonder, well, why wasn't it announced? And it's because if we were to announce every single thing, there'd be 30 minutes worth of announcements. And so take a look at it. Our greatest desire, pray over the events. As God leads you to be a part of anyone, get plugged in. But we know that not every event is for every person, but there are certain ministries that will touch people's heart compared to others. And so just know that even though all of it's happening at the end of the year, we love to be busy in the things of the Lord, and we want to take advantage of the opportunities to share the love of Jesus with everybody during this season. And so I want to specifically share this with you as a church family, okay? One of the things that we have a desire is not only to reach out into our community, but we also want to come alongside the body of Christ, just as the scripture says, that we are to have fellowship with one another and we're to carry one another's burdens. And we know that as we get to the end of the year, that sometimes families go through some hardships. What we would like to present to you today is this. If this is your family, we want you to please know that this announcement is out of love, and we would love to help provide a Christmas celebration for you and your family. What we would have you do is sign up at the Connection Center, fill out a form, let us know who's in your family, the ages, and there's a page on there that would describe things that we could do to bless your family. And so as you fill that out, turn it in, and we want to make sure that this year for Christmas that we come alongside of you and just provide this time for you and your family. We want to make sure that you understand and know it's all confidential. We do not spread it out throughout the church. We want to make sure that we definitely love you and provide the best Christmas that we can for you and your families. Now, the second part of this is if maybe you're in here and you say, Pastor, I would love to come alongside a family in this church and bless them. There's a separate form for you as well, okay? You can go out and do the Christmas shopping, bring all the gifts here, and just so that way everybody knows what we do, all the tags will say, Jesus loves you, okay? It's not from anybody specific person. Lord does all of these things. He puts it upon our heart to do these things, And so there's no weird feeling of you having to come in here and wondering if you know the person. Listen, it's all what the Lord puts upon our heart to do, and we want you to be able to avail of it. And so it's family time, and I pray that your pride would not allow you to get in the way of filling out the form, and if God has blessed you to be a blessing to others, it's all going to work out. So I want to make sure that I share that with you today. And then we're going to pray for somebody special at the end of the service, but I'll let you know more about that as we go along. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. We're looking at Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. And it says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hands on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ear, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be open. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Father, we thank you so much again for this opportunity that we have to open up your living word. Once again, we ask that you would be our teacher. Bless us with your truth this morning. Help us to, Father, put ourselves into this particular portion of Scripture. Bring it to life for us and help us to be able to live it out, to declare, Lord, that you do all things well. Father, we love you. We give you this time now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, my desire is to take this small portion, go through it really quickly, and I already know what some of you are thinking. Pastor Jerry, you have no idea what that word means. But I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as possible because I believe that this portion of Scripture is important for us to see that God has given each and every one of us a story that needs to be told. And with that story, the end result would be is to always give God glory, that all of us as believers in Jesus Christ would have the ability to say that he does all things well, okay? If you agree with me on that, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right, good, you guys are awake. First service is like, amen. Come on, people, wake up, right? But listen, this is good news, and this is the kind of news that our world needs to hear, especially with everything that's going on in our world right now. With all of the turmoil, with all of the hatred, with all of the wars, with everything that we see happening, it literally looks like there is no hope. But the reality is, we have God's word, and we know who wins in the end. That's Jesus. And what we have a desire to do is to hold on to that truth and understand no matter how chaotic it may be, Jesus is still sitting on his throne. Now notice what I just said. He's sitting. Okay, there's going to be a day when he stands up and says, enough is enough. And the reality is if you put your hope and your faith in who he is, we're going to be with him for all eternity. And so today's a day where we can take this passage, Lord willing, go through it with hearts that are open to receive, and then at the end of this that we would all walk out of here testifying to the same thing, that all God does, he does well. And so let me remind you of where we've been at in our study. It's been a couple of weeks, but Jesus and his disciples have just left the Gentile territory, and they leave from Galilee, and they head toward Tyre and Sidon. Now, Jesus' desire for doing this was for him to avoid the religious leaders along with the crowds of people, and his desire was to be alone with his disciples, to minister to them one-on-one, and of course, to get some well-needed rest. But as they headed into this region, remember with me that his desire was to go unnoticed, but yet his popularity spread even to the region of Tyre and Sidon. We met a Syrophoenician woman who came to him uninvited. And as she approached the home where Jesus was at, she repeatedly begged him to heal her daughter who was severely demon-possessed. Now, I want us to kind of remember, again, over and over again, she kept crying out to him. And yet, when Jesus finally responded to her, it was her response that moved him to grant her request. Remember what she was asking, heal my daughter. And Jesus told her, it is not right for me to take away food from the children to give it to the little dogs. You remember that? And her response was, I understand what you're saying, Jesus. I understand your priority is to minister to the Jewish people first. I'm an outsider. I'm a Gentile. But Jesus, the illustration that you just gave, listen, you guys need to hear this because it's powerful. She says, but even the little dogs can eat from the crumbs of the children. It can happen at both times. And because of her response, Jesus not only granted her request, but he commended. He said, this is amazing faith. Remember, a Gentile woman showing the kind of faith that Jesus desired for his own people to have. And sure enough, he gave a word. He didn't even have to be there to heal her daughter. She leaves, she goes home, and she finds that the demon has left her daughter. Amazing miracle. Amazing testimony of what the Lord did. And now as we pick up in verse 31, it says, again, departing from this region of Tyre and Sidon, so Jesus and his disciples leave. And I want to go ahead and put up the map once again to be able to show where Jesus headed. And so remember with me, this is where he was. He traveled up to Sidon. And then they crossed over somewhere in this vicinity across the Jordan River, heading into Decapolis. This whole big, I think it's purple. If not, just say it's purple. This whole area, and this word Decapolis means the city, 10 cities. And so within this area, majority of the population were Gentiles. In other words, they were not Jewish. And here in this particular area, many of the people there were Greeks and Romans, and they honored and worshiped many of their pagan gods, their Greek gods, whether it was Zeus or Hermes or any of the other long list of gods that they worshiped. But here in this particular passage, again in verse 32, it says that they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Now, the word they is speaking of the people who live within this area. Not only do we see an amazing thing unfolding before us, but if we were to look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 29 to 31, Matthew tells us that on this day, many people were brought to Jesus. Many who were blind, lame, mute, and with various illnesses. And so again, the picture that I believe that Matthew and along with Mark, as we put those two Gospels together, the picture that they're painting for us that I again, pray that it would become clear, and that is this. Jesus, not only is his popularity spreading, but remember where he is at. He's in another Gentile area where people worship pagan gods. And now as Jesus shows up, all those who were lame, sick, mute, didn't go to the gods of that region. They turned to Jesus. And this picture is powerful because, again, here you have a group of people who are not Jewish coming to a man who has the ability to heal. Now, the question we need to ask is, how did they know that? This isn't an area where Jesus hung out at. And so I believe strongly that the answer to that question is found in Mark chapter 5. I believe it was the man who was possessed by a legion of demons who spread the word about who Jesus is for this group of people to now bring many to Jesus. If you can recall with me, listen, Jesus showed up on the shore and he was immediately met by this man who was possessed by a legion of demons. And when he appeared, there was that conversation between the demon that was the legion of demons that was inside this man and Jesus. And what happened? Jesus not only rebuked them, set this man free, and then the evil spirit requested that Jesus would send them into the pigs. There was about 2,000 of them. And I know what all of us are thinking. That's a lot of bacon. I know, I get it. For you Filipinos, a lot of crispy pata, right? For us Mexicans, a lot of carnitas. But listen, all of those pigs ran violently over a cliff into the water, and they all drowned. And when the people heard what happened, they all came out to check it out. And this man that they could not control, this man who was chained, this man who kept cutting himself, the one who would scream at night, being tormented by this legion of demons, is now sitting with Jesus in his right state of mind. He's clothed. And then they see all of the pigs dead in the water. And they're all like, Jesus, you need to go. Like, this is just too much for us. We don't even know how to take this. So the crowd of people actually begged Jesus to leave. But this man who was possessed also asked the Lord, he asked Jesus, can I go with you? I want to follow you. I want to be with you. And this was a request that Jesus actually denied. But Jesus gave him some specific instructions. And what were those instructions? Go home. I want you to go home and tell your family, tell your friends. I want you to testify to what God did for you. I want you to tell people how God had compassion on you. And then in chapter 5, verse 20, it tells us that he went throughout all the region of the Decapolis and he shared, he told everybody of what Jesus did for him. So not only did he testify to it, but again, the powerful testimony of one who is not saying about what happened to another person, it's what Jesus did in him. Jesus touched me. Jesus set me free. I am here standing before you today to let you know Jesus has the power and the ability to heal. So as all of this area heard, Jesus' popularity spread, and now all the people within the Decapolis area in this Gentile area are bringing their sick, their lame, and all the other various kinds of illnesses to Jesus. And so Mark, in the passage that we just read, he doesn't tell us about all those other people. He focuses on one. And Mark focused on the one person who was deaf and also had an impediment in his speech. Now, this word impediment means to almost be mute. In other words, to have difficulty speaking, whether it's a stuttering problem or just not having the ability to clearly speak. So not only did this man have two major health issues, but listen, these issues caused probably a lot of hardship. These issues caused this one particular man to be dependent on other people. And the reality of what we have here is that this crowd of people, whether it was family or friends, but this crowd of people brought this man to Jesus and they begged him, would you please just touch him? And of course, by touching him, what were they asking? Heal him. And so in verses 33 to 34, it says here that Jesus, or as he, speaking of Jesus, took this man aside from the multitude. And I love this picture. I want us to try and grasp this picture. Here you have somebody who cannot hear. Let's just put yourself in this picture. I want you to pretend that you're the one who can't speak and can't hear. And maybe it's those friends of yours or their family that is bringing you, and you have no idea what's being said. You have no idea where you're going. You're just going along for the ride. But you trust them. And as soon as they get to Jesus, who again, this man probably had no idea who he was. And yet, now it says that Jesus pulled them away from the crowd. He pulled them away from family. He pulled them away from friends. He pulled them away from the group of people that brought him. Now, can you imagine the look on your face? Excuse me? Like, I don't know who this dude is. Why are you guys leaving me? Where are you going? Like, what's happening right now? Right? It's not an easy thing to do when you have no idea who this stranger is. And yet, Jesus takes him aside, and this word means to lead, to take away from a particular point. So Jesus took this man from the crowd so that he could minister to him one-on-one, privately. And as Jesus brought him away, I could just imagine this man's eyes wide open, but definitely locked in on Jesus. Where is this guy taking me? Where are we going? You know, how many of you like it when you have no idea where you're going? Yesterday, my wife and I took a trip, and we entered an area. I'm not going to tell you where it's at, but we entered an area, and there was a sign that says, "Private property, trespassers will be shot." And it gets worse. Like, that doesn't bother me. You know, because everybody has that sign. But then it says, "And survivors will be shot again." That freaked me out. I am turning away quickly, and I am going home. We don't like being surprised. We don't like what's around the corner when we don't know. And yet this man, Jesus just brings him away. And what does he do next? It says that Jesus touched his ears. And again, because he cannot speak, like, picture Jesus and this man face to face, and Jesus speaking with his hands, gesturing of what he's going to do to build this man's trust. You know, I don't know if the Lord looked at him and, you know, did this, you know, keep your eye on me. The Lord could have went, could have done something like that. I don't know. I don't know if he said this, you know, but that's what he did, right? He reached over and he put his fingers in this man's ears. And then it says he spat and then he touched his tongue. So I don't know if Jesus told him, you know, for him to copy, but then I would encourage you, don't ever do this unless you're hearing directly from God, okay? Because if not, you'll probably get socked. And I know it sounds kind of weird and kind of funny, but this is what Jesus did. And let me point out that when he did this, he obviously communicated in a way that this man understood what to do. That he didn't freak out when Jesus touched his ears or touched his tongue. He communicated right where he was at. And this man understood him. And the other thing that Jesus ended up doing after touching his ears and touching his tongue is he looked to heaven. He looked up to heaven and he sighed. Now, again, man can't hear, but he can see. And this sigh was a deep breath. It was a groaning on the inside of Jesus. And what I want us to understand and know is that by looking up, just like he did with the feeding of the 5,000, this allowed the man to see where Jesus received his strength from. By him sighing deeply and groaning, even though he could not hear it, he could see it. And this deep breath that the Lord took on this day would reflect his compassion and his love for this man, that he cared about his condition. So Jesus then, after Sion, said to this man, Ephatha, which means be opened. This is an Aramaic word. And the Bible tells us that immediately this man was healed. What an amazing miracle. From the touch of his ears, he could hear. And from the touch of his tongue, that the impediment of his tongue, it says, was loosed. And I want you to understand, this is a powerful word, because it speaks of him not just speaking plainly, but the word loose takes on the meaning of being untied. It means being released. Now, I love my grandkids. Oh, I love my grandkids. And if you know any children that are like from the age of 2 up to 5, they ask a lot of questions. And one of the questions they ask is a 3-letter word. Why? Why? And when they come over to Papa and Mimi, sometimes they, but why? Why? And I try to tie the tongue. Papa's thinking. Papa loves to play the sleepy game. For those of you who don't have kids, you'll learn it. But sometimes they just go, and they go untied, loose, let go. Can you imagine this man? Years maybe of not being able to speak, and all of a sudden it just comes out flowing. No stuttering, no hesitation. I would imagine it was hard for them to say, hey, can you keep it down now? Right? He just went for it. And sure enough, as all of this happened, verse 36 tells us that then he, speaking of Jesus, commanded them, the crowd of people, he gave them some strict instructions, don't say a word. What? Can we just be real? We're in church, right? How hard do you think it would be for you not to say something? Right? And I want you to now see the bigger picture. Because of where he's at, remember with me that many of the other Jews from the religious leaders didn't treat the Gentiles very well. They actually called them dogs. They didn't show them any kindness. They thought just by the touch of them coming up against their skin that they would become defiled. That's how much tension and hatred they had toward Gentiles. And yet, here's Jesus in a Gentile area extending the same love, extending the same miracles, preaching the same word that he did when he was with the Jews, that now he's with the Gentiles. This is a powerful picture. And the beauty that we have before us is that Jesus says, I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to spread this around. And I can understand why when it says that even though he commanded them not to say anything, and when he commanded them all the more, that all the more they spread it even more. But I also know what it says in verse 37, that they were all astonished beyond measure, saying he has done all things well. And beloved, what does this mean? They were overwhelmed. They were amazed that Jesus would demonstrate that kind of love to a bunch of people that were considered outsiders, to a group of people that were not looked at very well upon from the Jewish people. And I think this is important because not only did they hear about Jesus before he came, and they heard all the things that he was doing, now firsthand witnesses that Jesus has the authority and the power to heal. That Jesus had the ability to set people free from all of their illnesses and all the things that they came before him with. That again, he extended this love. And this again was powerful because the message that the religious leaders preached was God's favor is upon us. You're not going to receive the blessings unless you first convert to being a Jew, then you will receive the promises of God. And what Jesus just did was completely destroy that. Because as he went there and as he healed people, what was he saying? What was his action demonstrating? That God's kingdom is for everyone. Come on now, people. That's some good stuff. Right? God's kingdom is for everybody. That's why we read, for God so loved what? The world. They were all astonished and they were all amazed because Jesus did everything well. And what I'd like to do is just kind of have a little moment, and I want to talk to us as a family, as believers in Christ, but I also want to talk to you if you are here in the midst of this room and maybe you haven't made a confession of faith, because I believe God has a word for you too. But I just want to share this with you, for those of you who are followers of Christ. Can you say from your heart that he has done all things well? Amen. Come on now. Amen. I'm still not believing you. Yeah. Come on. Do you believe that he has been good to you? Has he answered some of your prayers?
Yes.
Okay, that's even a bad statement. Do you believe he's answered all of your prayers?
Yes.
Problem is sometimes we don't like his answer. Come on now, right? He always answers our prayer. Do you believe that God always has your best interests in mind?
Yes.
Do you believe he's faithful?
Yes.
Then we can all say he does all things well.
Yes.
And if he has, when was the last time you let somebody know? Because right now, this is the only hope that this world, I believe, needs to hear. I believe right now, more than anything, just like it says in the book of Esther, for such a time as this, that it's time for us as believers to step up and tell our story and how God has touched our lives. You know, yesterday, as I shared, we went somewhere in Utah. I'm going to tell you where. I don't want you driving over there. You might get shot. But listen, we met with a dear family who's going through it. And even though there's hardships and there's physical things happening in this family's life, we gathered together with about a group of 10 people. And she shared this journey that she's been on for the last 5 years. And her request was not to feel sorry, but was just to say, let's pray. Let's give this to God. I want to follow with what the scripture says. I'm going to call upon the elders of the church to anoint me and pray over me. But her last words is, God's will be done. In other words, what was she saying? He does all things well. Because despite what I'm going through, I can still say he is faithful. And the reality is, for us as believers, though we go through hardships, here's the truth that we need to hold on to. It's temporary compared to eternity. It says it very clearly in I believe, 1 Peter, or if it's 2 Peter, it's in the Bible, okay? But it says this. Though we go through a season of light and temporary trials, yet there's an amazing reward waiting for us, and that is to be with God for all eternity. So we can handle what's happening here when you anchor down and understand and know that our God wins in the end. But as we go through this life, just as we sang in that second song of worship, God desires to use us as his primary source to let this world know how good he is. Are you and I, as believers, willing to even have that comment that all of Decapolis heard of how good Jesus is? Are we willing to let all of Utah know how good our God is? Because we need to do it. So as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you haven't told your story, you need to. Especially during these times. Especially during the holidays. Share with people how good God is to you. Now, for those of you who may not be here this morning, or for those of you who are here this morning, and maybe you haven't received Christ, can I tell you this is a story that can come to life for you right now? Because at one point in my life, I was just like you, sitting in a crowd of people, being around other people who may have known who Jesus is, who may not have had a relationship with him. These people were all there because of Jesus. But there was one day that I was sitting in a crowd just like this, maybe even double the size of this, and I had some problems. And on that day, though I was sitting in a room just like this, what did Jesus do? He pulled me away. He pulled me aside. And the moment that the pastor started speaking, it was like there was nobody else in the room. It was as if the pastor was speaking directly into my life. Now, the pastor didn't come up to me and stick his fingers in my ear. He didn't touch my tongue. I wasn't the problem. But on that day, what was my problem? My life was a mess. What else was wrong? My marriage was falling apart. What else was wrong? Everything. Because everything I tried to do made matters worse. And when Jesus took me aside and when everything else from the people around me faded away, and Jesus had me one-on-one, he touched what needed to be touched. And though I came, will you fix my life? Will you fix my marriage? Will you fix all of these stuff? Jesus said, I hear you, but now I'm going to communicate with you what's more important. I want to touch your heart. Because you could have your family, but without me, you're not going to experience it to the fullest. You can have a better life. You can have a life without any problems, but without me, you're not going to have any purpose. You can have all of these things that this world can offer you, but it's temporary. And Jesus says, I brought you here. It's no accident. And I brought you here for a reason. Because you may think what you need is a better life, a better home, a better marriage, a better job, a better paycheck. I want to get married, Lord. Marriage doesn't make you complete. Jesus does. And though we may have all of these things, and these things are not bad things, but Jesus says, I want to touch what matters most, and that is your heart. In the same way, when the man brought that paralytic in Mark chapter 2 and broke through a roof, those men were expecting Jesus to heal him physically. But what did Jesus take care of first? His heart. And on that day, I can now say, he does all things well. 31 years ago is when he touched my heart. 31 years ago to this day, I'm still a work in progress. I still need a lot of work, just like y'all, so don't think you're all spiritual. Come on now. We're all in this boat together. Come on now. We're all a work in progress. And ever since that day, surrendering my heart to him, trusting in him, just like this man did, and as I allowed Jesus to touch whatever he wanted, the little things that he started taking care of. And some went away quickly. Others took a little bit more time. But the end result is that I can stand here today, not perfect, but I have been super blessed to allow Jesus to lead and to allow Jesus to have my heart and to do things that I never thought I would be able to do. But it's all because of him. He does all things well. Come on now, that's some good news. And so for some of you here this morning who haven't made that confession of faith, do you realize you may be able to hear today, and you may not have a problem with your speech. You may think that Jesus stuff is just for you, Pastor, or for all the rest of the people in here. But can I just tell you, out of love, Jesus desires your heart. Jesus desires to remove anything in your life that is hindering you from knowing him. And the Bible is very clear that it is sin that separates us from him. All of us have sinned. All of us don't deserve this amazing relationship. But because of Jesus, we can come and have that right relationship with God. It is through Jesus and his life sacrificed on the cross that opens up the door for us to be reconnected with God. That there would be nothing else hindering us, separating us from him. And as Jesus touches our heart, as he takes care of what matters most, it's Jesus is the one who cleans our life up. It's Jesus who comes in and helps our marriage get better. It's Jesus who comes in and helps us to understand the job that we have is providing income so I could deal with that grumpy old boss. Don't worry, I'm a boss too, so I'm talking about myself. It's Jesus who helps me with all of this. And so my invitation right now is for anybody in this room. And that invitation is, Jesus is wanting to pull you aside, to lead you into having this right relationship with God. And if this is you, I'm not going to ask people to bow their heads. I want you to be able to say, Pastor, that's me, regardless of who sees you. Because this decision is not meant as a group. It's an individual decision. And if you have a desire to get your heart right with God, to give him your heart, right now, I just want to encourage you, slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you. And I want you to know you don't need to be afraid. You're amongst people who have already done it. They know the struggle, and right now they're praying for you. And so if this is you, right where you're at, I know it might feel a little awkward, but the reality is, whoever makes a confession of who Jesus is publicly, Jesus will stand before the Father saying, this is one of ours. So I'm going to wait 1 minute. And as God has been ministering to your heart, I want to encourage you, slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I see your hands here. 1, 2, 3. See you in the middle. See you in the center. Praise the Lord. I see your hands in the center. Raise your hand toward the right, toward the back. For those of you who may be struggling, just realize God is moving. God is touching hearts, and he has a desire to touch you. God has a desire to welcome you into his family, and I love the picture of him meeting us right where we're at. God doesn't expect you to have all the answers. He just wants you to give him your heart. He'll do the rest. A few more seconds. Anyone else? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. And I thank you for everyone who raised their hands. And maybe there's others in here who would also have a desire to raise their hand and yet didn't. I want to encourage you, you can still pray. It's not the raising of your hand that saves you, it's your heart. And so anybody who has a desire to get their life right with God, I want to challenge you, just repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world, that he died for me. So God, I confess that I've sinned against you. And I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that I'm forgiven and at peace with God. Jesus, thank you for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and teach me how to live according to your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.